Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to your Tuesday Martinis. I am Rich McFadden with the Radio America Network, along with Jim Garrity from National Review Online. And for Greg Corumbus, who will actually be back tomorrow with you, Jim, for your Wednesday Martinis. So today we've got – yesterday we went – what did we do? Bad, crazy, and crazy. So we're going to offset that today with good, good, and good. All of your martinis are good news today. And let's start going a little south of here, Washington, D.C., and head down to Georgia, where it looks like the Republicans might be able to hold on to that seat in that special election.
Yeah, Rich, I wanted to send you out on a high note.
Thank you.
Sometimes we have bad days or grim days, but this one, this one we'll at least call a potentially good martini. Everybody knew that the race down in Georgia, the special election for Tom Price's old seat, is going to be really, really close. But what's worth noticing is a poll done by the Trafalgar Group, a Republican polling firm, surveyed more than 1,100 likely voters June 17th, 18th, fairly recent, margin of error is 2.9 percentage points. But you know what? It's got handle at 50.4%, Ossoff with 48.5. Not a huge margin, but you know what? It's nice to see a poll that has handle ahead. If you are happen to be living in that district, you probably should go out and vote. But then again, you've probably been inundated with attack ads for the past six weeks, and you're just really glad to see this election end. But the conventional wisdom and buzz around this race have been kind of trending negative for the last couple of weeks. Nice to see a little bit of hope for this. And I think if Republicans hold on to this, if Karen Handel wins, you will see a great deal. On the one hand, yes, it's good for Democrats that they kept it close, but they got to start wondering, okay, when do we actually start winning some of these elections?
Yeah, I was about to say, what you know, everybody wants to look at it and say, what does this mean if they win or they lose? So what does it mean if the Republicans hold it, and what does it mean if they lose it?
Look, you can point out all the traditional reasons of why Republicans should be in better shape than they are in this district. Tom Price was the incumbent and was usually winning by about 20 points. This is a district that clearly Trump does not sell well amongst, you know, relatively white collar, white suburban districts, people who are generally Republican and who might have been more attuned to a Mitt Romney type or a John McCain type, but who aren't necessarily comfortable with the direction Trump is taking the party. If the Democrats manage to win this, they're going to be able to look at this and say, okay, we can win the suburbs. And there are, I had the number in front of me yesterday, something in the neighborhood of about 37 districts that were where Hillary Clinton did better than Barack Obama. A lot of places she did worse, but there are a couple, these sorts of districts, which are generally in the northeastern suburbs, outside Philadelphia, outside Washington, D.C., outside Atlanta. These had generally been Republican, but they're not comfortable with the way Trump is. Everyone would kind of concede Trump is not your standard Republican.
True.
And there are certain Republicans who are not really going to be on board with this. So Republican enthusiasm may be down. Democratic enthusiasm may be really fired up. You know, if John Ossoff, the Democrat, wins tonight, Democrats are going to tell themselves, OK, we've got a really good shot at the House. We know where we can win. We know the messaging we have to do. We can peel away these, you know, kind of nominal Republican voters, and we can win. If they don't, guys, this was kind of the stage was set for you, you know. And if you, it's not like John Ossoff's going to be able to say, "Oh, if only I had a little more money."
Right. You know? Yeah, $50 million, you know, right?
Both of them have spent a ton, but he's outspent her by at least I think about $2 million. And look, if you can't, you know, if you can't win with with absolutely no financial limits, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to replicate this with a victory in a whole bunch of places in 2018.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it tomorrow. This will either be our good martini or our bad martini. Yeah. So check in and see what it is. Hey, listen. Being from Washington, D.C., obviously, I'm a huge Redskins fan. And Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, thanks to the Supreme Court, has a new favorite band called the Slants.
Yeah, not... not my cup of tea.
How often do you get an intro? Name. How often do you get an intro to a story like that?
Yeah, you know, not what I would like to call people, but apparently this is an Asian American dance rock band that chose the name to kind of, you know, diffuse it of its power. They adopted it or something like that. And what happened was the Patent and Trademark Office said, you know what, we are not accepting this. We will not give you a patent on this. We will not trademark the name. because we consider it to be disparaging of persons, living or dead, institutions, beliefs, and national symbols. And if you, the reason you played the Hail to the Redskins game theme is because this was the same argument that was made to the Washington Redskins,
right,
who lost their trademark protections back in 2014, citing complaints from Native American groups. Now, a lot of folks saw this as the trademark the trademark office starting to get kind of political. After years, and the Redskins have had their name since, is it back in the 1930s the team was founded?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. See, I'm not even a Redskins fan. I'm remembering this
very
stuff.
Very good.
Been around for a long time. You can find Native Americans who are perfectly fine with the name. You can find Native Americans who are bothered by it. You can find a lot of Native Americans who don't really care and feel like they have bigger problems they need to solve. But the trademark office said, no, we will do this for every other team, but we've decided you are an offensive name, Washington Redskins, and we will not give you your trademark protections. Well, this Supreme Court case kind of seems to strike that down. And the general gist is this is an 8-0 decision. This was not
wow.
a close. Yeah, you actually had broad bipartisan, or, cross ideological, however you want to characterize it, agreement saying, look, this is a, it's not up to the federal government to decide what is offensive and what is not. And I think that's the right call. Whether or not you like
Absolutely.
The name Redskins, whether or not you like a band called The Slants, it's not the job of the government to say, well, we're not going to protect that speech because we don't like it. It's not what it was set up to do. This is one of those circumstances where a lot of us would say, hey, you know what? The market will take care
Absolutely.
Of it. Really pick up.
If you don't like the Redskins, don't buy the tickets. Don't buy the jerseys. Let them go broke. If you don't like the band with their offensive Asian name, don't go see them. Don't buy their records. Don't download their music. That will take care of it.
And the good news is there are lots and lots of people in this world who do everything they can to beat the Washington Redskins. There are 31 teams, and some would even say Dan Snyder is probably the most powerful ally they have.
Oh, yeah, he's the biggest opponent to the Redskins.
No one can hurt the Redskins the way Daniel Snyder can. So.
He's the king of taking the Redskins out, there's no doubt. All right, well, we'll see how Dan and the Redskins react to that, but that's definitely a good martini for the day. All right, the last good martini is the U.S. just keeps shooting things out of the sky over top of Syria. Looks like the Syrian regime, the pro-regime, had another drone shot down the other day.
It did, and this one was built by the Iranians. This Ooh. Is a Shahid 129, the same type that was shot down earlier this month
nice.
After it dropped a munition near a patrol carried out by coalition troops and local forces. Look, guys, when it comes to drones, buy American. This is what happens when you... I'm not saying the Iranians build cheap, shoddy drones. I'm just saying they can't keep up with the very finest of the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force. Same rule when it comes to MiG fighters, guys. I'm sure the Russians think they're very good, but you know what? You go up against an American pilot, sorry, it's not going to turn out well for you.
Yeah.
Look, on the one hand, this is kind of ominous to see this sort of escalation over this. Yesterday, we pointed out that in addition to having the shoot down of the MiG fighter, Russia announced that as far as they were concerned, everything on one side of the Euphrates River, they were going to track everything. There's some questions about the translation of whether they meant they would target everything or shoot it down. My understanding is that Russian air defense systems routinely track allied planes and jets and stuff like that flying overhead. Having said all that, I can't help but notice that Raqqa, which was the headquarters city of ISIS, is on the side of the Euphrates they said they were going to track. So all of a sudden, Russian air defense... Look, hey, Russia, if you're really on our side, stop tracking us over Raqqa. We got some business to take care of over there. So, but all in all, look, it is very good to see that every time somebody goes up against the U.S. military, they keep getting the short end of the stick. And maybe this will be a deterrent. Maybe you don't want to fly your drones near us, guys, okay? Kind of a little friendly advice there for you.
Well, it seems to me that between the Russians, the Iranians, and the whoever team is on the ground, every time they throw something up, we get to shoot it down, and it's always fun for our guys. All right, there's your good, and good martinis for your Tuesday afternoon. Please make sure to check in tomorrow to Greg Corumbus, who will be back, and Jim Garrity from National Review Online, and they will update you on whether the Georgia election is in the good martini or bad martini section. And since we don't get to do this often...
to the rescue.
We'll finish our martinis with a little music here. And until then, saying happy Tuesday to you. For Jim Garrity from National Review Online and Rich McFadden at Radio America. Fight.